Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Hey, happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. Cinco de Mayo on a Taco Tuesday is a perfect confluence of events. Both things on the same day. Looking forward to we continued our conversation. Key, you've actually tried to make homemade tortillas?
Yeah, it doesn't work, though. I can't. I don't have the Mexican in me. That's, you know, I don't have it. I'm not authentic when it comes to that. It's just I don't know what I do. I think I make them too thick, and then when I try, they just break. It just crumbles. I've done it several times, just had to throw it out. And just said, you know what, man, I can't do it no more. I'm not even going to try it no more.
Yeah, they're too
Jorge,
thick.
So give when you some fold them, pointers.
Yeah, when you fold them, yeah, they're too thick. So once you smash them or whatever, and you fold them, once you cook them, they harden up. And when you fold it, that's when it breaks. You can't put any ingredients on there. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so it's not right. So I no, just say, yeah. Never mind. I'll go and buy. It's all good. But I'll buy the right ones. I ain't buying Ortegas.
Well, Key, you mentioned this a second ago. I don't know what's in this guy's shopping cart, but a man in the Vons store down in Santee, which is down by San Diego, was doing his grocery shopping with the required mask like we're supposed to wear, but he decided that a KKK hood was the mask that he was going to wear.
Now, I, you know, when we were doing our pre-production call this morning, I said what possessed him to think that it's okay to just walk around in, I don't care what state you in the United States, in the world, that you just freely go walk around in the city, like who tells you, what tells you in your mind that that's okay? I understand hiding. No, but I get that. But I understand racism, and I understand backwoods in Mississippi, maybe on a dirt road, you and your friends in the backyard. I get that. But in public, in a, right in the middle of San Diego? Like, seriously? Like, come on, LZ. You know what I'm saying. We're not talking about – that's just like somebody right now where you at. All of a sudden, you go and you get ready to go to the grocery store to get ready for this afternoon. And a dude getting out of his car, casually getting out of his car, open up his trunk, put it on, going to walk into Whole Foods. You walking down the aisle, you look, you're like, oh, it must be a joke. And he's standing in line right in front of you. They telling him to take it off, but he won't take it off. You would sit there and be like, man, what the hell is wrong with this dude? Like something is wrong with him mentally outside of the racist part. The mental aspect of this, it has to be something to think that it's okay to just stand in Vaughn's line to the point where no matter what anybody says, I'm not taking this off.
Key, I'm not shocked. I looked at it, but no, I would not be surprised.
But I'm shocked, and the reason I'm shocked is because, again, we're not in the backwoods of Alabama, Mississippi, down south somewhere. That's the problem to me.
No, that's a hell of a misnomer. That's why, like, you can't listen to national media. Because national media would tell you that everybody in California is a liberal, and everybody in New York is a liberal.
No, but LZ, I don't think I'm not explaining it correctly, what I'm trying to say, or you're not understanding me. It's like that to me, I equate that somebody walking through Beverly Hills, going shopping with that on, just walking down the street casually. That's what I equate that. You're not in the backwoods somewhere. You don't see that in the city.
Well, you do now.
You do.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my point.
Jeez,
you do.
That's if you'd have told me though, if you'd have said, "Key, I saw this down south, or I saw it in the middle of Oregon, or I saw it in the middle of Fresno," or so, I'd be like, "Oh, okay." But you're talking about in a city, man. That's crazy to me.
It's shocking for sure. I mean, just the imagery. But I sure wish I could have been
in that store. Though. I'd have asked.
I'm not. And it's not San Diego. It's San Diego County.
San Diego County. Okay. All right. Let me just. So, it's not the gas lamp. I get it. But
right.
I mean, come on, though, LZ. Like,
it doesn't shock me, brother. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. I've been around so many states, so many rural areas, both as a resident, as well as a visitor, as well as a reporter. I've seen so much of this over the years that, no, it does not shock me at all. You know they still have KKK rallies, right, where they march up and down the street.
I get that. But to walk into a grocery store and stand in line when people in the grocery store in California, out of all places, and you standing in line, like, leaning on the basket, like, damn, y'all, I'm going to do what I feel I need to do. Y'all say wear masks.
He's in the produce section. He wanted to get some apples or corn or something. I don't know what he was doing.
I would have loved to have.
Watermelon.
I would have loved to have been there, though. I really would have. Because I would have started talking to him and asked him, like, really, I want to know why this. Why are you doing, like, what are you accomplishing by doing this? I just want to have that conversation with that.
Putting it out there, I guess. I mean,
embarrassing. Embarrassing.
There's our KKK section of the radio program.
But the last point, though, if you're bold enough to walk in a grocery store, Key, wearing a KKK hood, then the last thing you're going to do is take it off so people know who you are. So once you commit it, you got to roll with it as long as you possibly can because you don't want people to actually see your face.
Well, usually you could tell a person's walk. You got a tattoos, I'm sure. You know, you got some stuff where, you know.
Look, if he's comfortable enough to do it, then he's comfortable enough people knowing who he is.
I just want to talk to the dude, man. Yeah, I just want to sit him down one day and have a conversation with him.
All right. So Peyton Manning has been out of football since 2016. That was his last season. And there are reports, Bleacher Report in particular, that he's going from team to team, talking to teams, taking notes, and figuring out how places operate with particular interest in the scouting department. And there have been reports that several teams have expressed an interest in him becoming their general manager and running their team. Let's start right here, Keith. Let's start with this point. If you were being looked at to run a team. If somebody said to you, hey, Key, what are you looking for to run a team? What are the things that intrigue you as an executive when you come in here and start looking at what we have or don't have? What are you looking for if you want that job, going from being a player to being an executive?
I've had the opportunity a couple of times to do some of the same things. Well, for me, first of all, geographic location would be important. Because it would have to be geographically located that makes sense for me to feel good to be able to do it. What did you say?
New York.
With that set aside, I would first want to know what the roster looks like.
What are you looking for on the roster, though, specifically? Are you looking for youth, age? Are you looking for draft picks?
Not necessarily draft picks, all of the above. I need to see the youth. I need to see what type of – is it? Can we turn it around? Is the players there that's available to be able to do it? Is there a quarterback in place? Is there a left tackle in place? Do we have a franchise pass rusher? Do we have a dominant wide receiver? Do we have any running backs? What do our linebacking core, our secondary look like? Any shutdown corners? What's the depth? So I have to study the 53-man or
– What's a red plus. Flag, Key? Like, what if you looked at – you just described all those things, the quarterback, left tackle, shutdown corner, all of these things that make you go, no. Let's assume the geography is right. Let's assume that the money's right, all those things. But you look at it and say, you know what? I can't do anything with that. What's the red flag?
Well, the red flag is for me is, am I going to get time to do it? Because I can tear it down and rebuild it, but is that really realistic in the minds of the owner? Or the owners want an instant fix, and for whatever reason they believe that they have a different roster than what I see. And then you get into the draft picks in the cap space. Because the draft picks in the cap space can be flexible. We can get to draft picks through trades and moving around and manipulating certain stuff. Same with the cap. I can clean up the cap by restructuring, by releasing dudes, by doing all of those sort of things. Then I would have to find my right lieutenant. Who's my lieutenant? It won't be LZ and Travis, that's for damn sure. but I have to find somebody that knows what this league is about, who understands draft boards, who could put things together. You know, my second guy, my whatever you want to call him, vice president, assistant, general manager, whatever it is that you want to call him. So you start there. And I got to have that right guy by me. And then from there, what are we working with the coaching staff and the coach? Is there a coach that I like that I can work with that's already in the building?
Wouldn't you want to bring in your own guy?
Not necessarily. I don't have to. Not necessarily. Because if there's somebody that's there that is the right guy that I feel good about, you build and form that relationship with him. You don't have to blow out the head coach. But what I can, but what I would do is I would reshuffle the deck in a lot of places for sure.
Where?
I don't want any mice running around. Where would I start?
If you're going to leave the coach there, are you talking about assistants? Are you talking about front office people?
It'd be front office people.
Scouts?
It'd be scouting. It'd be front office. It would be, you know, just different leaks. I got to plug whatever leaks are there. Because I'm sure there's in certain organizations, and in most organizations, there's leaks that need to be plugged. Now, all of a sudden, they need to conform to the way that I would want to conduct the business side of the sport. And in doing that, that's important because I don't need people talking to LZ off the record. I don't need that.
I'm always going to find somebody to talk to me off the record.
And what you're going to do is get their ass fired from me.
No, that's what's going to happen.
Because I'm going to find out.
You ain't going to find out.
Watch.
You're not going to find out.
Yeah, okay.
You're not going to find out.
Mm-hmm. When I'm in that meeting and I'm talking about what we getting ready to do, but we really ain't getting ready to do it, and there's only a couple people in that meeting, and I know the one dude ain't for sure going to tell because he's my guy, but that other dude going to tell, I'm going to find out. Just believe me.
Here's the deal. I'm gonna put a curtain behind how you work a beat.
Yeah, okay.
You report about 10 to 20% of what you hear and what you know.
All I need to hear is one or two things that I let out there for it to be out there.
I'm just letting you know.
I have no intentions of releasing Jared Goff, but I might tell everybody in the room that I'm going to release Jared Goff, and it ain't numbered about 3 or 4 people in the room when I say it. It's going to get out. Trust me.
Yeah, we know that old trick. You say some stuff. That's the reason why I don't talk all the time, because you need to wait and sit back and verify to make sure that your source is actually a source and not a puppet.
And then on top of that, very little things would be said from me anyway. I'm only going to tell one or two people. You know, when you start drafting guys and moving around, it's only one or two people you're going to tell. I don't need to tell the whole staff. I don't need to tell everybody what I'm doing, because it's important to keep the information retained inside. So you build a team by doing those sort of things, trustworthy people. You know, I remember when Bill took over the Jets, he started at the front door, the security guard. Harry wouldn't bother nobody, though. Harry might have been 6'1", 330. He just sat in his car. Might have been about 60-something years old. Man, Bill got rid of him so fast. Said,
why?
He had that. He said, because he know too much. I'm just telling you, the man whacked him immediately at the front gate.
So are you going through with a flamethrower? Are you blowing everybody out? Or are you going to let Harry stay at the gate?
No, Harry got to go. I'm bringing in former FBI, CIA's, police force. You know, I'm bringing in dudes that's been in the force. I'm getting new strength coaches in, getting rid of the old strength coach. There's certain aspects of building an organization that's important. The strength coach is extremely important. The strength coach is vital. You know, the training staff is vital. I don't necessarily have to blow the training staff out, depending on what they are. You do your investigation on them. Are they with you? Or are they with the players? Because if they with the players, most likely they're gonna probably have to go. They gonna need to be with me.
You want a separation. You want the players and then everybody else. You know, an interesting conversation. We'll continue. We'll talk about whether or not Peyton Manning would be good at that job as well, because apparently he's gotten some offers along the way. We'll do all of that. Plus, Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, is going to join us coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So there is a poll up right now that you can go vote on between Key's shells and LZ's Crispy Ortegas, so you can go on.
Why did you not call mine shells?
Because I don't know what those everybody are. On the internet is not calling them shells. They
being disrespectful.
They mad at you, LZ.
Stole them from a local elementary school or something. I don't know. I don't know where those things came from.
Yeah, Listen,
you can take a good shell and put in some Costco meat and make the whole thing bad. Or you can get some Ortega shells, put in some real meat,
your mic, dog,
and make it good.
Yeah, you got to cut his mic off because he's been with that corny asada cap.
No.
You did it.
It's chalky. It's greasy. There's nothing about that that's good, LZ. You got to do better.
Well, listen, as I said, I'm not taking cooking advice from someone who gets his food from Costco.
I bet you if you put up your poll, if corn asada from wherever you want to buy it from and corn asada from Costco, I bet you the 9 times out of 10 people would say, oh, it's cool, no big deal. No. But they killing you on these hard shells. You look like somebody told me you might as well go to Taco Bell.
Well, since you put in a sneaky poll, the real poll.
I didn't put no sneaky poll up.
We'll come back to the poll on LZ's taco shells in a moment. Right sneaky now, let's poll. Check in with NFL insider for ESPN, Field Yates, is joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Field, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me on and hope that you and yours are staying safe during this uncommon time.
Happy Cinco de Mayo to you too, Phil.
That's right. I'll be having a Corona later and maybe a couple margarita today, I should say, Key, in your honor.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. Just make sure you don't get Ortega shells when you get your tacos.
Or Costco meat.
Or Costco meat.
I like it.
All right. So there's a lot of obviously where we're at in things are happening. The schedule is supposed to be released on Thursday, but there's a lot of subtle noise out here in Southern California in terms of the quarterback position for the LA Rams. All right, Jared Goff is under contract for the next couple years. There's a few years of guaranteed money, but there's whispers that Cam Newton, they should kick the tires on Cam Newton. How viable and serious should that be?
I think not serious. And if you look at the Chargers right now, I would say they legitimately.
Well, no, not the Chargers, the Rams.
I'm sorry, the Rams. Oh, the Rams. I was going to say the Chargers. I was like, that ship has sailed, right? They just drafted Justin Herbert. For the Rams, I don't think that happens either. And I don't think, whether I think it happens versus whether I think it makes sense are two different conversations. So I'll start by saying I don't think it happens, Key, but I can understand it for this reason. If Cam Newton is willing to go with the Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston route, which is basically go to a spot where there is no mist. You are the backup quarterback, and you are paid like a backup quarterback, whether that's the $3 million guarantee that Dalton got or the $1.1 million base value that Jameis Winston got. And I think what you're seeing with the Cowboys' investment and the Saints' investment, and this would probably be in line with the Rams, is that if you think your roster is close to good enough or good enough to compete for the playoffs or maybe even a run in the playoffs, then you don't want to be hamstrung where your quarterback, Jared Goff, has something come up, and next thing you know, you are playing with, basically an incomplete deck of cards because your roster is good enough except for a backup quarterback. I buy into it there. I think there has to be a little bit of a gentle message involved if you were to sign Cam Newton, because not make any mistake, there are going to be a lot of people that the minute the Rams, if they were to sign Cam Newton, would say, good, play him over Jared Goff, because he's better than Jared Goff. And, that's probably the rub.
Field, do you have any sense as to what are some of the demands that Cam is asking for? I mean, this is a former MVP. This is someone who led his team to the Super Bowl. And yet we're looking right now, and he's still available, which is kind of shocking.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about demands from Cam Newton. And so I think part of it is this, is I think Cam's medical situation makes him different than Andy Dalton and also Jameis Winston. Obviously, that's a big question mark. It was when the Panthers were trying to trade him. It has been since, week three of last year when he went down with that foot injury or shoulder injury, I believe it was actually last year. There's been, unfortunately, too many of them for Cam. I'm having a hard time keeping up with them all. But, he has been banged up. That's part of it. And then part of it is also, Jameis and Andy Dalton, like I said, were willing to just take the backup route. Cam's mindset might be, listen, every year there's going to be a quarterback situation that evolves in training camp. I was going to say August. I don't know when training camp will be this year. And maybe Cam is saying to himself, what happens if a team has a banged-up starter come, the third week of the preseason, and we're 10 or 12 or 14 days away from week one, and they're saying, I don't think we can win with our backup quarterback. Maybe we should turn to Cam Newton. So that might be the preferred route for Cam right now, which might align with him being healthier, which, certainly Cam, at his best, is one of the most dynamic players the league has seen over the past 25 years. But with uncertainty surrounding his health and the fact that conducting physicals are not nearly as run-of-the-mill right now as they normally are, that's probably part of the reason why he's still unsigned on Cinco de Mayo.
Field Yates joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline, ESPN NFL Insider. And Field, like you mentioned, that if the Rams feel that they're in a position that maybe got to get through, you know, a handful of games, much like the Saints did last year with Teddy Bridgewater when Drew Brees went down, do the Rams to you feel like that team that is in a position to make a run at this? Because you look at the division, we know that Seattle is good just about every single year. San Francisco is the defending NFC champs. Are the Rams back on their level again heading into the season as you see it?
I don't think so. And I think they're good. Don't make any mistake about that, George. But I think that, like, you know, the offensive line still concerns me. I know there were some pieces that kind of found their way later on last season, but the right side of the offensive line, you know, I think probably the left side is more, makes me more confident because you have Andrew Whitworth. I know Rob Havenstein has been a little bit up and down since the extension was signed a couple of years ago, but I still have general faith in him. And then I would just say, like, on the back end, defensively, it's just about depth, right? Is that there are a few pieces we just don't know. Like, Leonard Floyd's going to play a big role for the Rams, I would think, this year. And Leonard Floyd's a talented player, but he's also been consistent. Your depth in the secondary has been tested with some departed veterans in recent years. You know, a guy, you know, we've just seen some moving pieces in the secondary, obviously. Eric Weddle hangs him up. So I think that the Rams, 1-22, are a pretty solid team. I think the depth is probably going to define their season this year. And as we know, this team has, it's never really fully all in football, but they've kind of gone all in. They sort of played their desk or their hand here because of all the major investments they've made financially in guys like Jared Goff and players that are no longer there like Brandon Cooks and Todd Gurley, but other players like Aaron Donald who deserve it, and eventually Jalen Ramsey. So it's an interesting dynamic right now for this entire roster.
Phil Yates joining the morning show with Keyshawn George, a.k.a. Travis and LZ in the mornings. Phil, when you look at some of these big-time free agents that's still out in the marketplace, the Jadeveon Clowneys, the Cam Newtons, do you think once we open back up the facilities that there's an opportunity for people to touch them, see them, get physicals, the things of that nature? Is one of the reasons that these guys that are out there are still out there because you can't really put your hands on them?
100%. I think that's the driving force, because not only that, it's so I am of the mind that football will be played this year. I think a lot of people are of the mind that football
Absolutely.
Will be played this year. We don't know when it will happen. But, you know, I think we all feel like there's an excellent, you know, there's a very good chance, I should say. But, you know, part of the teams that are evaluating Jadeveon Clowney, for example, is that he's not going to get what he wanted at the beginning of free agency, like a multi-year deal that pays him, you know, $20+ million per season. But if you're evaluating, let's say, a one-year $15 million deal with Jadeveon Clowney, you might want to have a little bit more clarity on when football will be played and, you know, the investment you're going to be making. Like, let's say it's a 12-game season this year, right? I mean, who knows what kind of commitment you're going to want to make for Jadeveon Clowney. So I think all of the factors that you guys have been discussing and all of the uncertainty is the driving force behind guys like Clowney and other, not necessarily just Cam, but some of the guys that don't play quarterback that are still unsigned.
Phil, when you look at the situation with the Chargers and Justin Herbert, do you believe that we're going to see him on the field whenever we start to play, or is this truly going to be a year apprenticeship behind TT?
I think it's going to be a lot like what happened the last time Tyrod Taylor was the starter in front of a top draft pick quarterback, which was Cleveland 2 years ago when he was the starter for, I think, 2.5 games before Baker Mayfield was inserted for that Thursday night game against the Jets. He took over and has been the starter since. I think that's where we're headed with Tyrod Taylor. It's going to be hard for any rookie quarterback other than Joe Burrow to be a slam dunk starting option for his team going into the season. It's there's just not that many reps available, right? I mean, who knows? Again, let's reiterate for the 12th time, I guess. Who knows when we'll have training camp and practices of that and things like that. So Justin Herbert's going to have to quickly find a way to overtake Tyrod Taylor. That's hard to do. So I think Tyrod begins the season, and then if this team doesn't meet expectations early, and the roster is good enough in a lot of places that they can be in the mix at least for a wild card spot, then you say, you know what? It's time for our first extended look of Justin Herbert. And even if there's a part of Anthony Lynn and Tom Telesco right now that is thinking, a full redshirt year for Justin Herbert makes most sense. These things are always moving targets when it comes to rookie quarterbacks.
Real quick, Phil, before we let you go. Three teams out west, the Raiders, Rams, and Chargers. Who have the better year?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the Chargers because the division the Rams play in is really good. George, talking about it earlier, like Seattle could go to the Super Bowl next year. San Francisco could, of course, go to the Super Bowl next year. Arizona is going to be improved. And with the Raiders, I like the roster. I like the direction. I like the trajectory. I'm just not sure that they're fully complete yet, whereas the Chargers have what I think on paper looks like a very deep secondary and an excellent pass rush to get the job done.
All right.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, joining us here on The Morning Show. Field, appreciate your time. Thanks a bunch.
All right, guys. Take care now.
All right.
You got it.
So, right, George, so George.
Yes? You got a question for me?
Phil hadn't been on our show in 3 years, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of, no, look, I've been called much, much, much worse.
You guys should have called him Clinton.
Yeah, exactly. We'll come back. We'll get into episodes 7 and 8 of The Last Dance and what we might see on those. That's coming up next on The Morning Show at 710 ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Happy Cinco de Mayo from Keyshawn, LZ, and George on a Tuesday morning. Take whatever I can get. Take whatever I can get. It was interesting. We were talking about Cam there, and you asked it, Key, and it sounded like he was more online with where you and I were with this whole idea about that this puts him in, or him being Jared Goff, in a really weird spot because Cam Newton is not just some backup dude. He's not a guy that's a 30-interception guy like Jameis Winston. He's not a guy like Andy Dalton who has been on a losing team for years and years and years. This is Cam Newton, a former MVP, and when he's right, he's going to create problems for whoever he's backing up.
Well, that's the conversation we've been having for months now about him being right. And when he gets right, it's going to get scary for people. When you go back to 2018 and you look at that and you look at how he played prior to that and in all the different things that he presents, he was the number one pick overall for a reason. He was the MVP who led a team to a Super Bowl for a reason. And I think when you look at it, because of his personality, because of who he is, sometimes you don't get all the credit that you deserve as a player. They concentrate on the injuries. They concentrate on the outfits that you wear at press conferences. They concentrate on those sort of things. You become polarizing, and they don't really study the film of you as a player. You can't bring a guy in to the locker room on a team like the Rams, because I can tell you right now, nothing firsthand knowledge, you bring Cam Newton into the Rams locker room, Jared Goff just got real tight. In the locker room is all gravitating toward Cam Newton. You know what I'm saying? It becomes – so you got to be calculated and understand that risk that you may turn that particular quarterback into something really fragile in Jared Goff when you start to kick the tires. Now, is Jared Goff the type of player who says, I don't care, man, bring him. He ain't going to never play because I'm getting ready to do my thing. And it pushes him? Or is he the type of person who would crumble – like a box of Ortega taco shells. You see how I set that one up? It would just crumble. Now, I don't know. It seems like to me Jared Goff would try to answer the bell, but is answering the bell good enough for fans? Because the moment that you start to look anything less than the first name that they start calling is for the guy number one in Cam Newton, because they've seen him in action. They remember him in action. And you see it all the time. That's why I'm never a component of bringing in a superstar right behind a guy who's kind of like teetering along. You don't ever want to do that, because the moment that you do, and I go back to Vinny Testaverde versus Glenn Foley. The moment we brought Vinny Testaverde in, even though Glenn Foley was our starter and he was decent, if he just stubbed his toe a little, it was a wrap. And that's what he did. Mm. it was a wrap. Never seen the field again.
That goes back to my point.
Jared Goff is a better quarterback than Glenn Foley.
No, I get, but the, never mind the quarterback. Just what the fan base and the media puts into the minds of the people who's running the organization, because there's only so much noise that they're going to hear, and it's going to start to make their eyes see something different. It's almost,
I don't know if the Rams have demonstrated over these last 3 years the type of team that bows to what the public's demanding. Now, that doesn't mean that a Cam Newton president
But think about it, LZ. The Rams have been successful over the last 3 years, winning and losing. But the constant noise and complaints, for the most part, has been about the offense and the quarterback. That's where the noise comes at. Jared Goff, yeah, he's okay. He didn't make that throw. Jared Goff would have did. That's the noise. All you got to do is go read your articles from a year ago or year. Even from the Super Bowl run, there was noise.
That's not unique. Typically, when your team isn't playing well, the quarterback is the first person who gets the blame.
Absolutely.
So it's not unique that Jared Goff, you know, people are questioning them when they lose, because that's just what happens with every team when a football team loses.
Yeah, but it gets the louder it gets, the more stress it puts on Les Snead.
All I'm saying is that
Sean McVay.
You're talking about 2018, and 2018 is the year that Jared Goff slayed the Chiefs and got the Rams to the Super Bowl. So if you want to talk about 2018, we can have a conversation about 2018. But the reality is that as long as Jared Goff is able to perform at the level that he's performed at the last three seasons, I don't see a scenario.
You let him sign Cam Newton.
Listen. I'm not disputing the dynamic will change if Cam Newton's in the locker room. I'm not disputing that at all. I'm the one that's been advocating for Cam to come to L.A. for a minute. I know what that is.
Yeah, for the Chargers.
My point is that as Jared Goff is playing the way that he's played the last 3 years on average, Cam's not getting in because Jared Goff doesn't get hurt.
That's not true, though. That's not true. You let him play. You have Cam Newton sitting on the bench and you let him play the way he played last year. It may not happen in 2020. But there's certainly going to be some noise. I look at it from a lot of different.
Hold up, Key. If it's not happening in 2020, that means what? Cam Newton signed a 2-year deal. He's not signing.
Cam's not going to sign a long term deal.
I don't know. I don't know if he's signing a 2-year deal or 1-year deal. I don't know if he's signing at all. But I can tell you from firsthand experience and watching this, you sign Cam Newton to back up Jared Goff, whether he play in 2020 or 2021. Is going to put pressure on that young man. Okay? You could go as far back as Mike Vick and Donovan McNabb. Okay? You go that far back. A dude came out of prison in the starting quarterback.
I'm not disputing that Cam Newton's presence would change the dynamic and add more pressure to Jared Goff. That's not what I'm disputing at all. I'm just simply saying there it's very difficult to believe right now that even if you sign him, even with the added pressure, he's going to find a scenario to get in on Jared Goff, because Jared Goff is durable and Jared Goff has been very good. Even last year, we all know they were a play away from being in the playoffs.
Let me tell you something. When somebody adds pressure to somebody and they don't perform and they start to play a certain way, coaches start to evaluate that and look at that and have conversations about would we be better off if we decided to do this? That's what happens. I'm just telling you what they do and how it goes and it handles. Whether it's Carr and Mariota, whether it's Trubisky and Foles, whether it was Michael Vick and Donovan McNabb, whatever it is, when you put a dude behind somebody who's had success in this league, coaches like that. And they will start to look at a person differently. I'm just telling you.
You all those guys you mentioned, too, maybe Foles is a little bit of an exception because he's a Super Bowl MVP, but none of those guys have an MVP on their record the way that Cam would, too. That changes absolutely everything. We'll continue the conversation, but coming up next, take it or shake it. That's on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, let's continue our quarterback conversation, Key. The New England Patriots did not draft a quarterback because they're going to tank for Trevor Lawrence. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Whoa.
They didn't draft a quarterback because Bill Belichick has something up his sleeve and it's not tanking. He strongly, and him and Josh McDaniel, probably really believe that Jared Stidham's the guy. Probably believe that they could turn him into a Tom Brady-ish type quarterback. They've won games before without Tom Brady in the lineup, and I think that they think to themselves, if we would have had to play with Jacoby Brissett the entire season, what would we have been? Or if we had to play with Jimmy Garoppolo, much like we did with Castle, we won 11 games. We may be able to do that with these other guys that we have in Brian Hoyer as well as Jared Stidham. So I'm not looking that Bill would even approach the game as far as tanking goes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the plan in and of itself, just on a piece of paper, get Trevor Lawrence as your next franchise quarterback. Okay, Bill Belichick is not sacrificing a season. There's just – Bill Belichick doesn't roll like that.
In all honesty, though, Coach, Trevor Lawrence is not – he's not better than Justin Fields. So this whole Trevor Lawrence burst onto the scene as a true freshman and led him to the national championship hype. Trevor Lawrence is okay. He's still got a long ways to go in terms of evaluating him, too. So just because on mock drafts he's ranked number one doesn't mean that he's better than Justin Fields or he's better than that kid that is coming out of North Dakota State. So there's a long – so if you start tanking for a guy that you don't know enough about, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
You're not sold on him. You don't think that he's a difference maker the way that some other guys coming into the league are?
No, I don't. I like Justin Fields out of Ohio State, me personally.
All right, let's go to the next one. Let's go to boxing. Rafael Cordero, who's a boxing trainer, was working out with Mike Tyson. Quote, I didn't know what to expect. He hasn't hit the mitts for almost 10 years, so I didn't expect to see what I saw. I saw a guy with the same speed, same power as guys 21, 22 years old. Mike Tyson should get back into the ring. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Take
53 years old.
Take it. I'm not one to count anybody out of anything. If he can get into shape and he wants to do it and he feels like his legs can hold up, because based on a little video clip, now I don't know if they altered it in editing or sped it up or whatever.
Nah, they
but
didn't.
Based on that damn video clip.
Mitts don't punch back.
You know. I was just going to say, you do realize nobody hit him, right? You do know nobody hit him back.
I get it. I understand. I'm living in the 80s. Mike Tyson with the jury on and little bitty shorts. I get it. I understand all that. I'm living in the 80s. Don King and John Horn and Roy Holloway. I got all that.
Now, I would say this.
I get all that, but I can tell you one thing.
There are plenty of soup cans that he could face and would not and not do bad against. He can beat up a soup can right now. I believe that.
All I'm saying is he's such a draw. It's just, I understand Raj think that he's Freddie Pacheco or whatever the boxing dude name is.
The fight doctor, Freddie Pacheco.
Yeah, Pacheco. Raj think Tyrone that's who he Pacheco. Is. But at the end of the day, Mike Tyson is a draw. And if he looks anything good in the first couple fights, if he was to get back in the ring, now I don't know if, you know, people would go to watch that. I'm going to watch that. I've been telling y'all for years, Raj, I'm a dude that think Mike Tyson can still fight. Have I not? Yes, I said that before we even got this.
There's two different things going on here. There's would he be successful is one thing, and do you want to see it is something different. And I absolutely want to see it. I don't know if it'll work or not. I mean, I know that George Foreman was younger than Mike Tyson when he came back, but remember when he came back, it was a joke right up until it wasn't.
That's all I'm saying about Mike, though. I know what Raj is saying. Raj is like, oh, he wasn't good when he stopped fighting. Man, that man had a million different things going on in his mind, man.
Key, can you name one of the last two guys to beat him?
One of the last two?
Meaning the last two PPP lawsuits. No, someone named Kevin McBride and Danny Williams. You shouldn't be fighting anymore if you can't beat those two guys.
Okay, well, I'm going to let Mike know that that's what you said.
In fact, not outfight those guys.
I'm going to call Mike up in Arizona and let him know that you're talking smack and see what he say.
53 is probably on the wrong side of that. Let's move on to the next one. Marshawn Lynch says that he's talking to the Seattle Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch should finish his career in Seattle. Take it or shake it.
I mean, whatever. Take it.
Go Hawks.
Take it. I mean, I'm not even enthused with that one, but whatever.
I mean, why not?
Man, I just seen it too many times already. So I'm kind of over the Marshawn Lynch train in Seattle. It was cute when it came back last year for the playoffs. That was all cute. But now we get ready to play 16 games. He's 35 years old. They got a bunch of young backs that they drafted. Penny's coming off an injury. I understand what the scuttlebutt is, but do you really want to see that?
Nope.
Nope.
I mean, yeah. I'm
more Mike Tyson coming back to the ring.
Mike Tyson.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Give me Mike before you give me more Mark.
Take care of your mental.
Quick one here. We talked about it earlier, Key, about what you would be looking for in an executive opportunity in the NFL, because Peyton Manning has been meeting with some teams, and there are reports that people are interested in him as an executive. Peyton Manning would be a very successful NFL executive. Take it or shake it.
I'm going to take it.
Oh, all right. Let's take it.
Took
okay.
A while.
Yeah, I took a while because it's interesting. That's why it took a while. But I think he would be successful. He would certainly try and surround himself, much like John Lynch, much like Ozzie Newsome, much like John Elway did early on, with the right people. And what I mean by that is you got to have the right lieutenant. You got to have the right people in place. You know, for me, if in fact I get a call tomorrow and say, hey, man, we want you to come and run this team, it has to be the right geographic location, I would go out and get me a guy like a Rick Smith, who's sitting at home, who was successful in Houston, who knows how to build teams. I'd go get me one of those type of dudes, Rick Smith, you know, and grab him and have him bring me along. Come work with me and bring me along so that I can understand. And that's what Peyton has to do. He has to go and get a Bill Polian and bring Bill Polian in the room with him, and Bill Polian can bring him along. Because what happens in these situations, it's not a matter of if he could do it. It's a matter of when the NFL is going to make him do it. Okay, because they want him to do it. They're setting him up to do it. You know, he's walking around. I'm going to visit all the teams. And he's doing it the professional, political way. Oh, he's the smartest quarterback ever in the room. Doesn't mean he's going to have success. But I'm betting he will to some degree, because he's going to take it serious. And anytime you get into this business like this, you got to take it serious. Because if you don't, people are going to assume that you're just doing it just because. So I look forward to him if that day ever comes, that he's running a team in an organization. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, episodes 7 and 8 of The Last Dance are coming up at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening here, this upcoming Sunday on Mother's Day. We're getting to the Michael Jordan Plays Baseball part. Does that mean we're getting conspiracy theory talk? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.